Josh Tolley is a former Blue Jays catcher, and he is with us now on the program. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Things are great. I just I'm going to start getting up at 5:45 to start tuning in, because that hour segment from 7 to 8 with Leap was special.
Was it special? Because I you know, you're saying nice things about Tim Leaper, but I want to play for you what he said about you. I mean, the dead air would probably not be welcomed by the bigwigs, but
that's right. You got Tolley coming on. There's going to be dead air at the end of the show anyway.
He was just mad at the intro you guys gave him.
And he's taking it out on you. Hey, he's probably still listening, because he's done yoga. He's done his radio with us.
Listening.
So if you got anything you want to say, he's not here to defend himself. He can only sit and stew on it. Josh, the floor is yours.
Well, I just want to know why you guys asked the first base coach about catcher signs.
Well, he stands there with the stopwatch. I mean, that's effectively what he does. And every now and then, with his right hand, he'll just wave a center fielder over a couple of steps when you're on defense, right? Just, hey, shade that guy a little more to left center. It's effectively all that Leap ever did. Made a pretty good living out of doing it, too.
One thing he was really good at is the batting glove collecting and the shoes on. He was so good at that.
Yeah, he was in full armor by the end of an offensive half inning. But Josh,
he was like the cigar store Indian over there.
Okay, so here we go with the sign stuff, because I think you're the perfect guest to have on about this. With what went down in Houston, with what has gone on with the Red Sox, obviously there is concern about sign stealing, whether it is the fair and gamesmanship way to do it or whether it is the illegal and frowned upon way to do it. And I'm sure there's some kind of combination of both. But out of all of it, we have seen a bunch of cross-ups this year. And the umpires behind home plate wearing some pitches that have been misread by the catcher, calling for a breaking ball, and now a 96-mile-an-hour fastball is dinging the ump in the shoulder or in the face mask. To what do you attribute the seeming uptick in these cross-ups, Josh?
Well, I first would say there's no worse feeling as a catcher than getting crossed up and having an umpire wear a 96-mile-an-hour fastball off his chest protector, first and foremost. Secondly, I think it's just the complication that organizations are taking it's almost become, it's not confusing. The signs are really no different than what they were. They just rotate. You can rotate them pitch by pitch if you really want to. Now, the difference for me, to be honest, guys, is when we talk about the Houston scenario, that was a live feed coming into the dugout, getting translated from the dugout to the hitter. Immediately. Now, if we talk about being on second base trying to pick apart signs, you can no longer have live feeds in the clubhouse. There's a MLB has a guy that is in there making sure that the camera view is of one view and one view only, or there's a, let's call it a 30-second delay on live feeds. So you like, let's just remove that part of it from the game. So now the only way to steal signs is if the runner on second base can translate them. So I think teams and front offices are making it so complicated where it doesn't have to be as complicated. I mean, you know, I played on teams where there's you have groupings of five different signs and you flash a number. Watching the game last night, you watch Gary Sanchez do it. He flashes a 2. So that indicates they're probably using the second sequence on the card that the pitcher has that sits in his hat. So I think it is becoming so overcomplicated, and that's why we're seeing pass balls, and that's why we're seeing cross-ups and everything else. I think if they can simplify that, and as Leap said earlier in the show, just get back to just playing baseball, have one or two sets of signs and go from there. I don't think guys care about it as much as the public perceives them to.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, how many times have you or someone, a guy on your team, has actually got a sign read by the second guy on second where they actually, it was part of the advantage when they're at bat?
I can say it's probably happened to me a handful of times in my career, to be honest. You know, and where I've gotten some of my signs in my career is from the third base coach. When the catcher gets down in his crouch and there's a man on first and he's so paranoid about the guy at first stealing his signs and he opens up his legs to the third base coach, they can see those signs. So it's not as much as people think it is. And this is somewhat of a fun fact, I guess. There's a lot of guys that don't even want to know when the guy on second gets the signs because they want 100%. They want to say, hey, I want you to be 100%. And you might miss a sign. You might miss a sequence. So a lot of guys will just take it out.
Josh, explain for us. You mentioned sign sequencing. And so I'm interested in how you did it. And if it's common to the game, then it's common to the game. But how did you do it and work it with your pitcher? And you did it in a time where there were unlimited mound visits allowed and whatever. So you could go and have a conversation about things. Fewer of those are allowed now. You have to watch for that. But take us through what sign sequencing is and how you change it up, either inning over inning or within an inning.
So I'll use the analogy going back some time now, right? Because you're right. Like the mound visit thing have kind of put a damper on how many times you can go out there and change your signs. It's too, I think, why they're using cards a lot more. So back a few years ago, before there was a mound visit limit, my favorite set of signs were rotating signs. So with every pitch that was thrown, it became a different sign effectively. You could either follow the previous pitch. So for example, if I put a slider down, a three, let's say I gave up a hit on a slider. So now the next pitch will follow the three. So then it would be 1-3-1-4. Well, that would be a fastball. And then the next pitch would be would follow the one. So I believe in rotating signs just to make it a little more confusing for guys. Some pitchers don't want that. Some pitchers don't want to think. A lot of starters were real big on rotating signs. You know, if you're ahead in the count, it's this sign. If you're behind in the count, it's this sign. If you're even in the count, it's this sign. The starters love that. Now, the bullpen guys didn't. They were about as simple. They almost went too far where it was like, well, nobody's going to pick up first sign. I'm going to use first sign or I'm going to use last sign. So it varied. It always varied pitcher to pitcher. And then if I felt like the guys on second base had them, then I would either call timeout, go out there, or we would speak in between innings and say, hey, we need to switch our signs up. And a lot of times it had to do with the relievers to make sure that, for example, my time in the Blue Jays, that Aaron Loop and Brett Cecil weren't using the same sequencing. So that was kind of what went into trying to figure out the best sequencing for each pitcher and navigating through the game.
Speaking about the bullpen, how could the Jays have such a good August and such a terrible September?
It could be fatigue wearing on guys. There could be a lot of factors that play into it. Now, I was going over the game, all the games playing the Rays just this morning, and I found it interesting. A lot of the games that they lost were given up late in the game. So if this bullpen can effectively turn it around and get back to where they were in August, I think it will give them a pretty good shot in a three-game series.
All right, Josh, as we let you go, Leap predicted that there would be a game three, Blue Jays and probably Tampa Bay, but whoever they're playing, which would be played 1 week from tonight. So we'll have you back on next week. Yay or nay, will we be teeing up a third and deciding game in the opening round?
I'm going to say yay.
Yay!
All right, so Josh and Leap both think we're going to be tied a game apiece heading into a game 1 week from today. Listen, pal, we'll get you on next week and we'll break down wherever it is that we are in a playoff series. It's great to be able to talk ball and important baseball at this time of year. Thanks for this, and we'll chat very soon.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me on, guys.